Everybody, this is the Georgia Songbirds, and we are here with Miss Emily Rose, who's out in Nashville right now, right, Emily?
Yes, I am. I am in Nashville. I've been in Nashville since November. I moved from Atlanta. I'm originally from Colorado. I was born in Denver, but I didn't really live there too much in my life. I actually moved around quite a bit. I think we left Colorado when I was about 2 years old.
I like to do a little bit of research when a former guest comes on. So, because I noticed Atlanta, so that was cool. We'll get to Atlanta part because if I have to ask, why'd you leave Atlanta? But
Man.
you went from Colorado and you lived in Alabama and Orlando, and
Yep.
were you part of a acapella group?
I was when I was in high school, my sophomore year, I was in a all girls a cappella group, and we performed more like pop folky kind of music, and we traveled and we competed, and it was super fun. Definitely one of the best experiences I've had growing up with music. It was awesome. You have to rely on, listening to each other and being able to blend, and it helped me with my harmonizing and stuff. I like that. So, it was great.
See, I love harmonies. I just can't do them. My band, we've talked about it so many times trying to get harmonies because I'm like a songwriter too. So we write and play, and I'm like, okay, so our next step for the band, guys, is we got to figure out how to harmonize. But I don't think we know how to listen to each other.
Yeah, no, harmony is definitely are one of my favorite things. I always tell everyone that I work with, every producer, I'm like, get ready to have 10 layers of harmonies because they're my favorite thing.
You say a cappella harmonies, you know what I'm thinking of. I think of that movie Pitch Perfect. Did you guys get to do that? Did you battle?
Kind of, but not like in a like a, essentially like a real like battle like they'd have in Pitch Perfect. It would be, different groups, and we'd all take turns performing on stage. And it would be a little bit less, theatrical and more of like a real kind of competition. But it was all super fun, and everyone's super supportive in that community. And, they're there because they love music. And so it was always a really fun time and really inclusive. It was really awesome.
And then you went to Atlanta, right? You moved to Atlanta for a couple of years.
Yes, I moved to Atlanta when I was 17 years old. So I'm 21 now. So that was like 4 years ago. I moved there with my mom. It was just me and her, and I moved with the wanting to pursue music as a full career, and kind of, had to start from scratch there. So yeah, Atlanta's where my music career really started. I started writing songs when I was about 15, when I lived in Orlando, and I was in that a cappella group, and I was kind of just doing my own thing, messing around on GarageBand and just, putting loops together and, recording myself, putting it on SoundCloud, and just kind of experimenting. And then I moved to Atlanta, and I started recording my own music and kind of naturally networked and started really doing my thing there. But totally different genre. I started with hip hop R&B actually. So completely different.
Yeah, Atlanta, that's kind of the niche of it, is a lot of hip hop and R&B stuff. There was a group here in Atlanta, because I used to play, it was Atlanta Songwriters Meetup. They would meet like the Red Light Cafe, and you'd write, play a song, and they kind of critique it. And I remember I was playing one time, and this guy said, "Oh, good job." At the end, I said, "Oh, thanks." It was T.I. I had no idea who he was.
Oh my
And
goodness.
my boss was like, "Do you know who that was?" I'm like, "No, that was T.I." I was like, "Who's that?" They're like,
Oh my
"Jesse, you got to
goodness.
get cultured."
Yeah, I went to the studio one time, and I was passing, like they had like an open kitchen area. I was going to the bathroom. I was passing the kitchen, and I look over, and this guy's sitting there eating a salad. And I was like, wow, he really looks like Usher. That's crazy. And then I like came back to the studio, and my engineer was like, Emily, that is Usher. And I was like, oh my, I just saw Usher eating a salad. That was really funny. But yeah, no, it's definitely more R&B hip hop based. And I mean, at that time though, that's what I was making in Orlando. I was more like R&B. And so when I came to Atlanta, it was kind of easy to dive into that. But then I did a couple music videos and kind of was in that lane, and I ended up meeting a really good friend of mine who made electronic music, and he was like, we should, you know, collaborate on some stuff. And before you know it, we were in the studio weekly, and we were doing pop EDM with a little bit of R&B, and I rode that wave for a couple years before transitioning into country music. So I traveled all different kinds of spectrums when it comes to making music.
I think most songwriters probably do, because I always get, when I was a kid, I always got teased by everything I would listen to, because I would listen to Bad Company and the Eagles and Charlie Daniels and Tupac, and I would listen to all that stuff. And I just love mixing music. I mean, ask anybody around that knows me, that I'm like an iPod shuffle. Everything that I listen to is you'll hear heavy metal once, and then you'll hear Merle Haggard right behind it. I mean, that's music. Well,
yeah, literally, that's exactly how my playlist is. Because I grew up on country music. My mom, she loves country music, and my dad did to me when I lived in Birmingham, especially. It's all we listened to. But of course, my dad loves 50s and 60s music, and so, you know, I'm listening to like Roy Orbison and Elvis Presley, Patsy Cline, but then I'm also listening to like Leanne Rimes and Martina McBride and Carrie Underwood, and then, you know. And then on my own growing up, I listened to Rihanna and Lady Gaga and all of these different people. And so, you know, when I was trying to kind of figure out my own artist brand, it's like I'm inspired by all of these different artists and people. And, you know, I just love making music, kind of like how you're talking about, where it's just like when you love writing music, it's hard to kind of narrow yourself into one lane. So I have a hard time not genre bending when I make music, because there's just so much good music out there, you know, and so many creative avenues you can go through.
See, I'm glad you said that, because I think sometimes songwriters get stuck in their heads. Like, look, you can, there's two different persons. Well, as songwriters, there's multiple people. We got a lot of people in our head, I know, but there's the songwriter can write any genre. Now, you may not sing it, or you may not do it for your own style, because if you're an artist, you got a brand, you want to do country or whatever you want to do, right? You got to kind of, you stay there, but it doesn't mean you can't write. Look at Stapleton, all the stuff he would write. I think that a lot of younger songwriters, and younger, I just mean by like either age or experience wise, mm-hmm. will get mm-hmm. stuck in that idea. Like, well, if I have to perform, or I have to sing everything that I do. I wrote a song for me and my daughter watching Grease. She's about to be 14 years old. I've got boy and girl. She's about to be 14. She loves Grease, loves that style of music. Mm-hmm. But Queen is her favorite band. I've kind of rubbed off on her. I think she's probably going to have a hard life. But she was sitting there, we're watching Grease, and I'm listening to the hand jive, and I'm like, I wonder what it would sound like if Hailstorm did hand jive. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote a rock song with the chords from hand jive, and I gave it to a female artist here in Georgia to play as a rock. Her name is Bree Fox. And she just, oh my God, she just completely killed it. It was so great. So cool. I think people get lost, and I'm glad that you can kind of navigate and do your own thing and do multiple genres.
I definitely think it's a little bit of a balance. I think when you're kind of releasing your own thing, I've always had, you know, people tell me like, you know, you don't want to confuse your audience by going like releasing a pop song and then releasing a country song and, you know, releasing an R&B song, you know, and I definitely, you know, kind of agree on that, about, you know, when you release your stuff as an artist, to kind of try to stay in your brand a little bit. But as a songwriter, I mean, there's so many avenues, from sync to, you know, selling them to other artists and different things like that. So I think that, you know, if you have the ability to write more than one genre, I mean, it's setting you up for even more, you know, potential for success in the industry. So,
right. Because as you get older, the artist side kind of slips away. Like, big, I mean, you can do it as long as you want to, but like that, you know what I mean? That the bigger artists, the signed artists, they kind of stay away from the older people. They're kind of, they had their moment. So that's the way they look at it, but they still can perform and still play, but they can do whatever they want to at that time. Now,
yeah, exactly.
I do have a question that I know a lot of songwriters probably will think this too. Like, if you're writing for a certain style, I know songwriters are different. So what's your process, or how's it different writing for a country song as compared to, say, an R&B or pop song?
That's a good question. I feel like my writing process is always
more chords.
Kind of, yeah. It's kind of similar. I this is like kind of embarrassing to admit, but I don't know how to play guitar or piano or anything. I'm more of like a lyricist. So typically I have to be with like a producer or someone that can like play guitars. And when I was first starting out, I'd write to like YouTube beats and stuff. But I always, melodies just kind of come to me. I always like, start by I typically like a acoustic guitar bass, and I'll kind of just hum and get into whatever vibe I'm feeling. When it comes to country, I do try to, country has a particular, it has a twang. It has a, I sometimes will put harmonies on a country song and be like, that's starting to sound a little R&B, because I'm like used to, layering those like kind of Beyonce style harmonies, and I'm over here trying to write like a, Kacey Musgraves style song, and it doesn't really, match up. But when it comes to country, I think that I tend to go for more of a nostalgic kind of feel. Like I grew up on 90s and early 2000s, 2010s country, and it kind of gives you a little bit of like a cozy feeling when you listen to those, songs from that time. So when I'm writing country, I try to kind of stay in that, stay in that lane and take inspiration from those time frames. When it comes to R&B and pop, I try to stay a little bit more into like the futuristic approach or the right now, or gain inspiration from like current artists. But I think that what I love so much about country music is what is traditional country, which is pedal steel and banjo and real like storytelling, which that translates into R&B, but it's a completely different ball game. So, I think it also, long story short, depends on the day and what mood I'm in. Because sometimes I'm like, man, I just want to sing some real like Adele, full riffing, full harmony kind of song. And then sometimes I just want to sing a simple, kind of indie country song, or just a real, traditional Carrie Underwood, kind of badass song, so it kind of just depends on what I'm feeling that day, and I just kind of let the music gods lead me to my
See,
lyrics.
I've always been told I had a musical Tourette because I will put some of the weirdest instrumentation in songs just because I want to hear what it sounds like. Like I'll put steel drums or I'll put, there was one song I put a French horn in and it's like, do you know what a French horn sounds like, Jesse? I'm like, no, but let's see what it sounds like in the song. Says, okay. So we put it in and it actually sounded pretty good. So I've always called my music mutt music because it's such a mixture of stuff that is just, it's fun. And I've had this conversation before with other songwriters and artists is it's funny if you think about it, music is pretty much it's all related. R&B and country have a lot of similarities into it. It's usually just a little bit more instrumentation that changes, like the pedal steel, the banjo, or trumpets and some bass grooves. But otherwise it's the same thing. It's a storytelling that people gravitate to. And I miss those days of storytellings on the radio. I mean, it's I love, don't get me wrong, I love rock and roll and I love solos, but I'd rather hear story in certain songs too.
Me too. I mean, music is music for me has always been therapy, because it's like it's relatable, and it speaks to you. And in times where you feel happy, or times you feel sad, or you feel angry, I mean, there's a song for everything. And and the best songs are the ones where you are able to listen to it. It's kind of like when you read a book and you're able to picture what you're reading in your head. Like you create what you think the characters look like, what you think the setting looks like. And that's kind of how music is. And especially when it is in like a storytelling style, you can really connect and put yourself there. And I think that's, it's such an awesome thing. And I agree. That's why I love older music, because it brings in that storytelling, and it doesn't try to be too flashy, and it just, talks about real stuff. And that's always been my goal with my music, is to be able to relate to other people and, tell stories, whether they're mine or other people's,
See, and you're an artist too, so that kind of is another story or another question I always kind of ask for artists too is like, do you take other people's songs? because you're a songwriter yourself, but do you look at other people's songs? Do you have songwriters that you work with? Do you have songwriters that send you music?
I've recently moved to Nashville, so I'm still networking out here, but I try to collaborate with different songwriters. I'm trying to work with different producers. I am trying to be in as many rooms with as many musical people as possible. So at this point, I'm not even sticking to genres. I just am working with different writers, and I, for the most part, all of the music I've released has either been written completely by me, or it's been written by me and like one other person that I worked with for quite a while. So, I don't have too much music with other writers, but that's actually my biggest goal living in Nashville, and something I've been trying to push myself to do is to work with more people, especially out here. There are so many talented writers, and my goal for this year was to really be able to push myself and open up and work with new people, because I mean, some of the best songs, come out of Nashville. And I think a really great example, obviously, is Chris Stapleton. And he, to me, is the perfect blend of R&B and country. He
Oh, yeah.
just meshes them together, and his riffs and the way that he belts are so R&B, but his twang and the vibe that he sets is so country, and his writing obviously is phenomenal. I mean, he started as a writer and got pushed to be an artist. People were like, "You're so freaking incredible. What are you doing?"
Oh yeah. He can
So
sing anything. That man, I heard him do Metallica one time and he just killed it. I was like, oh my God.
his voice is one of a kind. He is definitely one of the most talented there is in the industry, for sure.
When he did his version of Tennessee Whiskey, it's funny because everybody, we did a cover that one time and somebody's like, oh my God, that he said, that's a, and my singer at times, oh, it's a Chris Stapleton. I know it's not Chris Stapleton, but a guy was like being a jackass. He goes, oh, that's George Jones' friends. I'm like, actually, it's David Allan Coe if you really want to get serious about it. But what Stapleton did with that song, and I didn't realize this till it was pointed out to me, is he took the melody from I'd Rather Go Blind. What's her name? Ella Fitzgerald? No. Is that her? Yeah, I'd Rather Go Blind. It's the same melody, and he put it over Tennessee Whiskey. And I was like, that is so cool. And that shows, like we said earlier, how blues and country kind of go together.
100%.
Love that stuff. Like I said, we get long-winded. So are you getting to play out anywhere up there? What are some of your favorite places that you've been playing?
So I've played at a couple places. I recently did a writer's round at a place called Fat Bites in Donelson, and I'm in talks with the Cobra in Nashville. I haven't ventured onto Broadway too much, just simply because a lot of them already have like artists that have residencies there, and I'm trying to stay out of Broadway. I'm trying to play a little bit more around Broadway. And my ultimate goal for this year is to play Bluebird Cafe. So they do auditions, and they also do open mics, but obviously the open mics are pretty hard to
I made
get.
it onto
So
one.
oh, you did?
I did years and years ago. And I told people it's so funny. You see the Bluebird. Bluebird is so iconic. And you see it like when they had the TV show Nashville and everybody looks at it as like this big place, but it's not. It's a little hole in the wall. I literally, and I've said this before in the podcast, people have heard it. I literally called from the parking lot trying to find a Bluebird. It's like, where are you guys at? Oh, we're between the cleaners and I don't remember the other place beside it. I think it's that place is gone now, somebody told me. But I was literally under the sign and it was right to my left. I didn't even see it because it was such a little hole in the wall, but it's so iconic.
No, it is. People, that's one of the first things I heard before I moved to Nashville, is just so you know, like Bluebird Cafe, it's the place to be, but it is so nonchalant, so hole in the wall, you're not even gonna realize that it's Bluebird Cafe. But to this day, I mean, it's hard for people to even get tickets to go and go there, like as a guest, let alone a performer. So that's that and the Listening Room, Nashville, would probably be my top two venues this year that I want to get into, which both are audition based. So
Okay. Now I've seen the listening room. I haven't really looked into it. Do they have open mics too, or is it straight audition to get in?
I think it's audition only to get in, but
Okay.
they do primarily writers' rounds, and then they do have some like showcases and stuff like that.
Okay.
But my ultimate goal would be to do more writers' rounds. I during CMA Fest, I met Hardy's wife, and she was the sweetest, just the nicest gal. And my girlfriend met her and was like, hey, like my girlfriend's a, you know, awesome songwriter. And I know that Hardy started as a songwriter, you know, do you have any advice for her? And, you know, she said that, you know, get in as many writing sessions and as many writers rounds as possible, because, you know, Broadway, it can be a tool, but it also can kind of hold you back a little bit. So she said, you know, she would recommend not prioritizing Broadway as much, and to, you know, focus on the writers rounds. You know, that's where you never know who you're going to be playing next to and what they wrote and what they had a part of. And you know, TikTok and things like that are really big, but she emphasized very greatly to, you know, focus on writers rounds and try to work with as many people as possible. So that was kind of cool to, you know, meet someone who's married to someone that's, you know, a Grammy award winning country artist that's, you know, really making things shake for himself. But I mean, he's been at it for 10 years in Nashville. So, you know, it's
you kind of have to. I mean, I remember same thing with you. When I was 19, I went to Nashville on some kind of songwriting thing. And I was dumb. I was a 19-year-old kid. What did I know? Right. So I go and I cold call all these publishers just to try to get somebody to call me and to see. I know now it's a little bit hard. It's always been hard, but I got one person to call me back. And so I said, all right, I went in here with my stuff. And I was like, at that time, I was like, I only kind of just did songs and melodies. I didn't really play very well yet. I hadn't learned guitar. And the guy heard my stuff and what I had. And he goes, yeah, it was good. He said, well, you need it. You got something, but you need to do this and this and this. So I thanked him first time, didn't think anything else of it. The guy who it was, his name was Alan Reynolds. The guy that founded Garth Brooks. I'm like, and I saw a picture with him and Garth, and I'm thinking it's Nashville. What do I, everybody's probably got a picture of Garth because this was in the 90s at the time. But yeah. I was like, oh, you just keep going at it. You never know.
Yeah, exactly. You never know who you're going to meet. And, you know, I have a friend that went to a writing camp with Maren Morris like 5 years ago.
That's cool.
Before she really started, you know, doing stuff. And, you know, I know a couple people here that got in a room with writing with Lainey Wilson before she had her moment. So it's kind of just like, you know, you gotta just stay consistent, and you really never know who you're gonna work with or who you're gonna meet. And all of those people started as successful songwriters. So not only is being a songwriter really a successful songwriter, great consistent income, but it's, you know, it's also a really amazing doorway into the industry, which now that it's so saturated, it's, you know, you have to kind of fish your way in somehow.
Yep. Well, let's just actually listen to one of your songs. Which one you want? I'm going to share the screen so you can see.
Okay.
Well, let me get to where I can share the screen. But what song would you like to listen to first?
Let's do When I Close My Eyes. That was actually the first country song I ever wrote, and the one where people were like, you need to drop some country music. Just go for it.
When I Close My Eyes. Now, actually, I'm a songwriter too, so I like to hear stories. What's the story behind the song?
So the story behind When I Close My Eyes is about basically, you know, kind of a hopeless romantic relationship is ended, or even, you know, anyone can interpret it the way they want, but it's basically just having someone that you lost, and kind of hoping and wishing, or kind of being in denial that they'll come back. And typically, you know, when you really love someone, or someone's always on your mind, at least for me, I always dream about them. And so it's kind of like, you know, being in this state of, I'm, you know, kind of fallen for my own lost causes of thinking like, or hoping that I'll see you again, or, you know, be able to be with you again. But if I can't, at least for now, I'll just see you when I close my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
off home. Wonder when you're gonna come back home. Wishing we could work this out, but baby we're so distant now. And I already know I'm holding on and you let go. Maybe I'm still stuck in the past, wondering how'd you move on so fast. I'm falling for lost causes, I can't help that I'm not moved on. Still hoping and praying, even though all my friends are saying, waiting around will just push you away.
First, when that first line, I thought it said my bed of thorns, but it's what is it? My bed alone? Is that what it says?
Yeah, I'm laying in my bed alone. Yeah.
I thought you were laying in your bed of thorns. I was like, oh.
Yeah. No.
I like the falling for lost causes line. That is such a good line.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that actually, I wrote this song with a friend and he came up with that line. That was a good one.
That is a really good one. Where did you record at?
I recorded that in Atlanta at it's called the Music Barn. It's a small studio actually, like behind a church. And I recorded it with a friend and an engineer named Esco, and he's really awesome. And so we tracked that, and we tracked Burns Like Whiskey that I have released as well there, and also Small Town Dream. So all of the songs that I have out, I recorded at that same studio.
I have to check him out because I haven't heard of the Music Barn, and because I don't go much of Atlanta, I'm here in North Georgia, like in Cherokee County. So We do a lot of Mad Life, and I use Donnie Hammond's here. But I always like to ask because there's people I know that listen, songwriters listen to this. They're looking for places to record all the time.
Yeah, you know, he's awesome. I think he's still at that location. I'm not quite sure. I know that he was kind of looking around at some other options for his studio. So I'll have to see if he's still there, but I do know, I don't know if I know that it had a little sign called the Music Barn.
Okay.
I don't know if that's an actual name, but I'll have to get back to you on that. But there's a couple good studios in Atlanta. There's Bravo, which is a good one. And, I haven't been there in so long. I'm like forgetting all the names of these studios, but there's some good ones there. But yeah, he Esco is awesome. And he has an Instagram. I think I can probably find that and send that to you.
Yeah, send me that. And like I always ask my guests, the two things I always ask them, one is share it with everybody you know, your friends, your family. And two is pay it
Yes.
forward. So if you know of any songwriters, artists, singers, wherever that in the journey doesn't matter to me. They could be just starting, they could be Grammy nominated. I really don't care. So just then come on and we can talk and basically
Awesome.
do what we do, what we're doing.
Cool. Yeah, I
Having fun and
definitely
talking
have some
music.
awesome people. Yeah.
Now, I do always ask the guests because I know how I am when let's do it, but do you enjoy listening to your music? Or you're
I
like,
do.
okay. Mm-hmm.
I do enjoy listening to my music. I get the most excited and inspired when I make a song that I can listen to on repeat myself. I'm super picky. I will record a song 50 times if I have to until it's perfect. But I refuse to make music that I don't like to listen to. So if I can't listen to it and jam to it myself, then what am I doing? But I do know that some people, especially some writers, don't like to listen to their own stuff. But I get, as I said, the most inspired when I am making music. I'm like, wow, I could hear this on the radio, or I could hear this artist singing this, and listening to it. It's very like it's a rewarding and inspiring, exciting thing when you're like, wow, I'm making music I really love.
See,
So.
I had a buddy I met doing this. And he's out in Nashville. His name is Anthony Mossberg. And he was, I was asking that question and he says, it's kind of weird. I feel kind of like, you know, it's like I shouldn't be listening to myself. But he says, what's really weird is when he's at a party and his friends will put his music on. He says, I'm not doing to make fun of him, but it's kind of weird that they're jamming to his songs.
Yeah, it is kind of funny when people, yeah, when that guy, I've had friends like I went to my I went to one of my best friends. I went to her mom's wedding and they started playing my music. And I'm like, this is like, I appreciate the support, but like, this is so funny that you're playing my music at your mom's wedding. But hey,
Have you ever been out and heard your song somewhere that's just like beside like that of friends that maybe like, ooh, it's like, oh, that's my song. That's my song.
I have not. I can't wait for that though. That would be awesome. I had like I was able to see that I had a lot of people like Shazam my song at one point, which was cool because that means it was playing somewhere and someone had to be like, look it up. But I haven't had that experience yet, so that'll be exciting when that happens.
Now, we mentioned earlier TikTok. Are you big on TikTok? Do you do that stuff?
I'm not actually. My girlfriend's really been getting on me about that. She's like, Emily, you're funny, you're relatable, you should be more on TikTok. And she's definitely not wrong. My another one of my goals right now is to try to be better about doing TikTok. Like today I've been doing a whole like follow me around all day, which is just I'm just such an in the moment person. Like pulling out my phone and taking a video and all this stuff is not really my thing. But of course it's one of the most important things about being an
It's
artist.
weird though, right?
It is. I am just like, people really care about this, but they do. They love, being up close and personal and seeing everything that you do. So, TikTok is definitely, while it's as big as it is and while it's here, I definitely feel like I need to take more advantage of it. Because when I have posted consistently, I do see, pretty good engagement, and it's definitely really helpful for, independent artists that aren't signed by labels and don't have the ability to, have those connections to be able to really get stuff going, which that was what, when I met Hardy's wife, that was another thing she said. She's like, TikTok, 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 TikTok. Just, she's like, it doesn't matter how cringy it is, just do it because it, people love that cringy stuff. And she's not wrong at all.
Right.
So.
I've used it a little bit. I do more for like stuff for my kid, and I'll put like songs. So I like doing the montages where like the first one I ever did, I have my kids. They were 9, maybe 10, right? And I had them. When I was a kid, you had to rake the leaves. So I had them rake all these leaves and then they're jumping in it, as kids do. So they're jumping in these leaves. So I played, there was a version of Time of My Life, you know, from Dirty Dancing. And so I played that while they're jumping into the leaves. That was my first TikTok. And I was like, I'd rather do stuff like that for me personally. Like this is fine. I don't have any issues doing audio and doing interviews, but you put a camera in front of me and I got to stare and talk to the camera or the little lens, it weirds me out. I don't know why.
Yeah, me too. I feel that 100%.
Now, let's listen to another one of your songs. Which one do you want to do next?
Let's do probably Small Town Dream.
Okay.
That one's a fun one. I wrote that one as a storyline, and it kind of was just ironic because the storyline ended up matching where I was at the time in my life, because this was right before I moved to Nashville. So it was kind of like this, the story is about a girl leaving her small town to follow her, you know, big dream, kind of being a rebel of her town. And I reference her being like a girl James Dean, and she kind of just, you know, is leaving everyone behind and going to chase whatever dream she's going to chase. And it was ironic because when I released it, you know, as I said, at the time I was prepping to move to Nashville and completely try to start over and establish myself here. So it was kind of, you know, an ironic timing, and it's probably my best performing country song I've released so far.
Red leather, stone cold. She's a cowgirl sipping on some ice Patron. Told her family she won't be back as she drove away in her Cadillac, east of Eden, a teenage dream. Her hometown says she was a girl James Dean, just a rebel without a cause. They all shake their heads, but man, it just felt so good. Like a match to a flame, we can answer the pain. So good. Nobody, just a lime and tequila and some back roads in a honky tonk. A blue moon sipping night out on a dock. So good. Like a match to a flame, we can ash from the pain. So good. To let it all wash away in the Mississippi rain. She's gone west, chasing after sunsets, leaving all the excess, trying to find her own.
Get lost in that song. That's a really good song. I like the blue. It's got a blue. You can start slipping a little bluesy in there. I think you're right on the edge of about to be you know, big. You just got to be discovered. Somebody's got to listen to you. Somebody's got to find you. It's your control is so good. The storytelling, the visuals are so good. If that's not country, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what else is, right?
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I definitely, I know that this is what I'm meant to do. You know, I just trust in God's timing and just letting stuff unfold the way it's supposed to.
When you do a song like Dream, and there's certain words, and I've said this before on other podcasts, there's certain words that are like attached words. Like you just, it automatically makes you think of something. Dream is one of them. Anytime you put the word dream in a song, it automatically just makes people think of their own dream. It's just a, just right. a catchword. You know, I had a friend, she's a songwriter, and she was down on herself, and she goes, people were giving her a hard time. I'm like, I don't understand why, because she's an amazing singer. Two, she's an amazing songwriter. What's the problem? You know, her name is Deborah Lynn Rodriguez. She's a local songwriter here. And I ended up writing her a song called Let Me Dream for that same reason. Like, it's basically, let me dream my dreams the way I want to, because people are going to tell you how to do your life, and you can't listen to that. You got to figure it out for yourself. And it's always banging your head on a wall and figuring out how to do it. So I like that song. That was, I love this. Actually, your vocal control is so good.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And that was a fun one.
It's almost not fair.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, is anybody else in your family like musically inclined too, or is it just you?
My mom's side of the family, my aunt and a couple of my cousins. One of my cousins is a singer and performer in Universal Japan. So she's more on the musical theater side, but I grew up with my aunt and my cousins. They would sing in church and stuff like that. But I'm the only one that kind of has taken it to the songwriting and career extent.
Now, do you remember the first song that you ever heard on the radio?
I do not, but I do remember listening to pretty much anything like Carrie Underwood or Martina McBride, and I remember doing like karaoke in my living room, doing Before He Cheats karaoke for my parents and just forcing them to sit and watch me sing. So I remember like really like sitting with those songs and you know, having my own music videos in my head and stuff. But I don't remember like the first song I heard on the radio, but I do remember, you know, those.
I asked that question because I think that the first song that you remember, and it may not be the first one, but the first one you remember, Carrie Underwood, kind of stuck to you in your style. So, I mean, because you're singing, your control, she's got a killer voice. I know her range is incredible.
It's makes me jealous. But and then also our song by Taylor Swift, that was another one. She was my first concert, Taylor Swift. I got like second row, and it's when she was in her country era. So Kelly Pickler and I think Little Big Town were opening for her, and it was amazing. It was like such a, I remember that night so clearly.
The first concert I remember going to, I think, was Charlie Daniels. It was at Lanier Land here in Georgia. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching him do Devil Went Down to Georgia, because he always ends that one in Georgia, Devil Went Down to Georgia. And he's playing that fiddle, and he's playing it so fast that the strings just smoke, and then they pop, because that's how fast he plays. I remember that. I remember the first time, I was three, I don't remember this, but they said I was at the Grand Ole Opry. My parents took us there, and I was dancing to my seat. I obviously don't remember it. I was 3 years old. But I think there's certain things in your life that music will gravitate toward. Music, everybody loves music. That's something everybody listens to. But some people are born to do it. And I think early on, there's certain things that you have, certain experiences that actually push you to that. And it sounds like you singing karaoke to Carrie Underwood is one that actually pushed you. Now, I have to ask the question, have you ever sang karaoke of Carrie Underwood out?
Have I ever sang karaoke like out and about, like at a karaoke?
Have you ever go to do karaoke and do some Carrie Underwood?
I've never actually done karaoke Like, I've never gone to like a karaoke bar or anything, but I think that would be really fun to do, especially in Nashville.
There you are.
I told you it was that hot spot. I can't trust it.
I was like, oh no, my internet's going bad.
Was definitely mine.
So the last thing I heard, you said it was Nashville. You were trying to do karaoke in Nashville, would be funny.
Yeah, that definitely it would be interesting to see, like, how many people are actually really good, because there's so many good people in Nashville.
See, and that's the thing, I've had this conversation because it's funny, because people like take it, some people take it so seriously. I went to Vegas for my 40th birthday with my wife and family friends, and me and my bassist Jordan, we went up and did Lionel Richie, Hello, but we didn't do it normal. We did it in our Elmo and Schmeagle voice the whole song, just to have fun, because it's like hello, and we sing the whole thing that way. And people got like mad, and they're like, so like, why is it he's not taking it serious? I'm like, of course I'm not taking it serious. It's karaoke, people. Karaoke is not like singing on stage, because you can't really hear yourself and you just try to get louder. So some of the best singers are probably horrible at karaoke.
I'm sure. Yeah, no, you should hear how me and my girlfriend sing in the car. I do not take that seriously at all. We'd be scream singing. It's quite entertaining. I think people would not take me seriously if they heard how I sing in the car.
Now, playing out, I know you're a songwriter, but do you ever do any covers or anything like that?
Yeah, I love doing covers. I started, like, a lot of my TikToks that went really well were covers and stuff like that. So I definitely like to do covers. I will say, I think we do have to wrap at 7:30 because I am in a session.
Oh, okay. So is you got 9 minutes, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then what we'll do is tell me the last song you want to play, and I'll put it on at the end.
Okay, well, the last one is the only other one that I have released, which is going to be Burns Like Whiskey.
Okay. Yeah, there's Good Luck too. Burns Like Whiskey.
Yeah, Good Luck is from before I started making country music, so I'm gonna let that one sit. We're gonna move on from that
Okay. Well, I'll put that one on at the end.
one. Okay.
But so I know we have enough time for it. Tell everybody where they can find you, all your social media stuff like that.
Yes, so you can find me. All of my social media handles are Emily Rose Music. That's EMILEE Rose Music. And I have a new song coming out July 28th. It's called Long Road Ahead. And it's about kind of knowing you're going to have a long process of healing from a, ending relationship, but kind of being accepting that healing process and almost being excited to see the new version of you that comes from that. So it's a pretty empowering song. It's definitely one of the hardest songs that I've written to sing, and it's one that you can just belt your heart out to. So that one's going to be out July 28th, which I'm super excited about. And I'm working on a bunch of new and fun music right now, so I'm hoping that, throughout the rest of the year I'll be able to pump out a lot of songs for people to listen to, and I'm super excited about it.
And if you ever get to Georgia, you should come to like the North Georgia Cherokee. There's a lot of places for songwriters and rounds. They're starting to get really big up here. Well,
Nice.
I guess down here from where you're at, but it's really good. You should check it out. Let me know if you need anything. And then like for Nashville, there's a couple people I know, but we look forward to hearing from you, because everything I've heard so far, I've loved. I thought it was really good.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm super excited to show some of the new music I'm working on, because it's, some concepts that I know people aren't really doing, and so I'm excited to experiment and see what people like and don't like.
Okay. I got a couple questions. It's not music related.
Okay.
I won't give the whole, I usually do like a 20 question kind of spiel at the end. We don't have time for that, but I do have a couple. I'll
Okay.
ask you this one. If we know you do music, we're very talented, a cappella, great songwriter. What's a hidden talent?
Oh, a hidden talent. I'm a pretty good cook. I love cooking.
Okay.
Which I it's not really like a hidden talent, I guess, but I don't really talk about it much, so I guess it's kind of hidden. But I do love cooking, and I also love weightlifting. those aren't really talents, but there are things that I do that I don't really talk about doing.
Okay. What's your favorite thing to cook then?
My girlfriend loves mushroom chicken and I cook it a lot. It's like, I make like a mushroom chicken pasta. It sounds so funny, but, I love cooking it. It's super fun to cook and she loves it. She requests it like weekly. So it's probably my favorite thing.
And since you mentioned weight training, what's your favorite exercise that you do?
I love anything leg day related. So I love squats and deadlifts and lunges and anything of that sort. I love kind of, what do they call it? I forget what it's called, but it's more just like weight training. And then I like to do like cardio as well, like the Stairmaster and stuff like that.
My little girl wants to be a professional wrestler, so she's actually at wrestling right now. But when you deadlift, how much do you deadlift? What's your heaviest weight you deadlifted?
You know, I used to be way stronger than I am out for a while. So now I'm trying to build my strength back up. But I used to be able to deadlift about like 200, 250.
That's good.
So.
Yeah, it's working out and it's exercise.
5 years old. Yeah, exactly. And then I used to do hip thrusts. I used to do like 300, 350 of those. So that was in my prime.
My age now, if I tried to do a hip thrust, I'd get stuck. They'd have to help me.
They are quite the exercise, that's for sure.
Well, I want to thank you. I know you got to go in your session. So thank you, Emily, for coming on the show. You're welcome to come back anytime.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. And like I said, share with everybody. Send me somebody new and we'll listen to them and have a conversation. And if you ever do an album, we do album reviews, which is not typical. I'm not going to critique it. I never do that. It's always storytelling and listening to the music.
Awesome. Well, I'll definitely send you my new single once it's out and you'll have to tell me what you think.
Perfect. Thank you, Emily.
Thank you, Jesse.
For me, and it burns like whiskey. whiskey.